I want to thank each and every one of you for being here this morning. You know, it's really good to see everyone's smiling face. If you're not smiling, please do so. We've come together today to study God's Word, to sing praises unto Him, and to give Him our lives. Every day when we wake up, we should thank God for another day. Because it is by His power and His thought that we are able to get up. And should it not be a blessing to be able to come together as brothers and sisters, as the kingdom, the church, to glorify our Father and to sing praises unto Him? If you will, take your Bibles and opening up to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read a couple verses there in a moment. The real Jesus. In reality, I think we ought to be saying, will the real Jesus please stand up? Do you remember the old TV show, What's My Line? Where they would talk about and give little hints about the things that a particular job or a particular function or something that one person within the panel done. And at the end, the four panelists would start moving up and down, and then finally at the end, the one would stand up. Once when Jesus was asked about His identity, disciples revealed that people had several differing ideas about His identity. Matthew chapter 16, starting verse 13. Matthew 16, start in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, others say Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Ever since God created man, and you can read about that fact in Genesis chapter 1, specifically verse 26, mankind has been making God in their own image. You know, we can read there in Genesis, "In the beginning God created," not that man created, because man wasn't there yet. But ever since God created man in His image, man has been trying to create God in his image. Remember some years ago, everybody had these little bands they wore on their wrist, and they had on there WWJD. What would Jesus do? You know, the concept, it was a great idea, but here's the problem. Few chose to open their Bibles to find out exactly what Jesus would do. They left it to their own morality. They left it to their own think-so. Yeah, they were proud that they were wearing that little wristband with WWJD on it, and the whole world looked at them, "Oh, you believe in Jesus." But they couldn't tell you hardly one fact about Jesus because they had failed to open their Bibles to find out. So this morning I would like for us to examine some very popular notions that the world has concerning Jesus. First thing is, many in the world today believe that Jesus was a very good teacher. You know, some see Jesus as a genuine historical figure. That's okay. They believe that Jesus truly did live. They believe that he was wise. They believe that he was a moral teacher whose charismatic way brought him many followers, but nothing more. But notice, if you will, because, you know, we don't have the band on our wrist with the WWJD on it. We're going to open up the Bible to see exactly what, if we can, Jesus truly was. Some say that he's simply a good teacher. Yeah, he's an historical figure. He did actually live, but, you know, that's about it. Notice, if you will, John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yeah, he was a good teacher. He was wise. But nothing more. But John says here that the Word, meaning Jesus Christ himself, was made flesh and dwelt among us, dwelt among human beings. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then we read in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said unto him, who? Y'all remember who he's saying this to? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Jesus was a historical figure. You know, he was a good teacher and he was wise. He had a charismatic way and he drew many people around him, but that's about it. But the Bible says that if we want to go to the Father, we have to go through Jesus Christ. He's the door. He's the good shepherd. He's the only one that we can go to enter into the house. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. I think that'd probably make a lot of people mad, wouldn't it? Because a lot of people believe in Buddha. They believe in Islam. They believe this and they believe that. But Luke writes in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If Jesus was simply a good teacher and very charismatic, moral, wise, then Luke's not telling the truth. So who do we follow? Do we follow the wristband WWJD? Or do we follow what we find within the pages of the New Testament? Luke said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one way. There's only one way. Again, some believe that Jesus is simply a good teacher. Secondly, many believe that Jesus is the rich benefactor. Some today think that Jesus is the way to good health and wealth. Many are disillusioned. They claim to be Christian. They claim to follow Jesus. They even got their wristband to prove it. But yet when things happen, when their standing within society doesn't improve, when they may actually get even a little bit poorer, or their health fails somewhat, well, Jesus, I believed in you. Why aren't you taking care of me? Let's see what the New Testament has to say. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Brothers and sisters, it does not say, let him take up his cross on Sunday, but take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now, we've never been promised a rose garden. Jesus did not say, you become, you know, my friend, if you become a child of God, if you become a Christian, I'll give you all things. Now, we do know that we can pray and ask. Sometimes we receive and sometimes we don't. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Could you imagine somebody coming in here today and offering everyone here free membership in whatever organization you wanted to be a part of? But in order to get that, you'd do what they said for the rest of your life. Would you do it? I think many people have a hard time. Because you wouldn't know from day to day what that person would require of you. But here, Jesus himself says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Put yourself on the back burner. That is not, he's not saying don't take care of yourself. What he's saying is we need to put Jesus, God, and His kingdom first in our lives. We are not promised anything. How do I know that? Luke chapter 9, verse 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So what makes you think it's going to be any different for his followers? Then Acts chapter 9, verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias. Jesus telling Ananias about the new convert, Saul, who became Paul. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Do you truly understand that following Christ, devoting our lives to the Savior, it's possible that we're going to suffer? You know, we've had it easy and nice in this country because we're not persecuted. Maybe sometimes now we're getting a little bit talked about. But we're truly, really not persecuted. Not like they were in the Apostles' day and the first century Christians. Notice the next one here, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and verse 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, sovereign ruler. Sovereign ruler. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only sovereign ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. If Jesus himself was persecuted, and we all know that Jesus died on the cross, what have we really got to look forward to other than a home in heaven if we remain faithful until death? We're not promised a rose garden. Jesus, the good teacher, Jesus, the benefactor. Then there are some who believe Jesus is really just a pushover. Some think Jesus won't really do what he said he will do because he's too kind, he's too loving. You know, I've actually heard people say, straight-faced, well, I don't believe that anybody's going to be lost because I don't believe that God or Christ is going to be so mean as to punish anybody. Some truly do believe that Jesus will not do what he said he's going to do. John 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. And the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Brothers and sisters, if you're going to be judged, then that means you're going to stand before the Lord. And he's either going to say, come, thou good and faithful servant. Or he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. There's going to be a lot of the WWJDs that's going to hear that on that day. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that that little bracelet is evil or you shouldn't have it. But if we're not looking into God's Word to truly understand and see what Jesus would and would not do, then that little bracelet is meaningless. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's a hard passage, isn't it? Many in the world, I love Jesus, but yet they've not kept one commandment. They've not done anything that would prove that they truly love Jesus. Then we can look at John 15 and verse 14. If you do whatsoever I command you. Again, if you love me, keep my commandments. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. It's not what I think Jesus will do, but it's totally what he will do. We're told if we want to be friends, we need to obey. Mark 10, verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up your cross and follow me. We all know what's taking place here. The young man come up, great wealth. He asked Jesus straight out, what one thing must I do to be saved? Jesus tells him, keep the commandments. Well, I've kept them from my youth up. Well, there's one thing that you lack. Because your heart is with your wealth, I want you to go and sell everything that you have, give to the poor, come, follow me, take up your cross. You remember? Jesus had no home. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but he has no place to lay his head. The young man went away sorrowful because he had great wealth. Are we putting our faith in what we have? Are we willing to lose our homes for Christ's sake? Are we truly willing to lose our family for Christ's sake? Jesus is not the pushover that many people believe he is. Jesus, the patriot. Some act as though Jesus is an American and we're his chosen people. Do you believe that? There are those who simply believe that Jesus Christ was born and bred right here in America and that we are his chosen people. John 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence." Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You know what? I don't think that the apostles knew that there was actually an America. They may have. Acts 10, 34 through 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Again, I hope you all remember what's taking place here. Cornelius. Peter went to his house and the Holy Spirit descended upon Cornelius. And that's what Peter says here. "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person." It makes no difference what nationality. It makes no difference what color of the skin. It makes no difference if you're tall, short, fat, thin. It makes no difference. But too many times, we want only those that look like us, act like us, and basically are us. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Conversation, literally commonwealth, our citizenship. We're not citizens of this earth. We're citizens of heaven. We're brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, who is in heaven. And Jesus told us, he says, that he's going to prepare a place for us. And if he goes and prepares that place, he will come again and receive us unto himself. That where he is, where is he? He's in heaven. Where he is, we may be also. Are we looking forward to that? The real Jesus. He's not what we imagine him to be. We don't have to imagine. We can read about it. We can study it. We can understand it. We can accept it. But too many times, we're fashioning Jesus according to our image. We need to take Jesus as he is, real, as we find in the Scripture. Do you believe in the real Jesus today? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you had your sins washed away? This morning, if you're here and would like to obey the gospel, be baptized and have your sins washed away.